Okay, we're ready?
Okay, welcome everyone to the regular council meeting, the Borough of Roosevelt, May 1st, 2023, at 7:11 p.m. Adequate notice of this meeting, as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2023, which was posted by the bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Louis Ezikoff?
Here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Hertstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here. Okay. Glad to see everyone here. Last meeting we had, there was no one here at all.
I had the wrong night for some reason.
Yeah, I was wondering if you went to Switzerland. Yeah, I didn't know if you were in
Switzerland. I
didn't know if you were in Switzerland babysitting or you were. Okay. All right, I'm just open the floor to public comment at.
So no mayor's report.
No,
right?
No, okay. An actual report.
So it's 7:12.
We'll discuss. Okay, would anyone from the public like to come to the mic and ask anything, say anything? Agenda items only.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. I will comment further on the yard waste collection program ordinance. I assume that you guys are just going to work out all of the things because we don't even have the Borough of Roosevelt in the copy yet. So one thing I wanted to ask about is your yard waste collection program. You don't have one now, and I'd like you to consider maybe doing a pay-as-you-throw kind of collection if you go that route, where after publicly educating the people that leaves and grass clippings are perfectly fine for your yard, if they still wish to throw them and you have a collection, that it's paid by the individual, not by the
So, wait, I'm not sure I understand that. So, in other words, anything that's not fine to keep in the yard that you want to dispose of?
Your leaves...
Right, I'm saying those things, there's certain things that are fine, but then other things that you'd want to dispose of are not fine to leave in the yard, that you have to, what are you paying for?
My understanding of your yard waste collection model ordinance so far is basically dealing with leaves and grass clippings, and those are perfectly fine to leave on your yard. We have educational material that we have at the compost display. Area that we have, and we'll definitely have it all out for next week's composting week. But the grass clippings and the leaves are actually very good for your yard. But if people still wish to get rid of them and you are going to have a yard waste collection I would recommend that you consider doing it where you tell people that they would like to have it collected, then that cost of that would be divided by those people who wanted to collect it.
Okay, I
understand. As opposed
to
an expense to the borough.
Right. So it's not the people who choose not to leave that in their yard, even though it's good for the yard.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is that, how is the cost by pound? How do they, by pound, by number of bags they leave out? How would that work?
I would suspect that would have to be worked out with your carrier, no matter.
Right.
Yeah, no matter whether you're paying for it or whether you're you know, putting the cost on the people who are having that collection.
Will the towns charge?
I don't think we have anybody who will pick up leaves.
We don't.
Well, every time,
this is,
towns. Whenever
this
we've
is
looked into it, it's just
prohibitively. This is not something that generally we have done.
Right.
But it is in your, currently in this.
For discussion.
Yeah, right.
Every time
I received an email, which I forwarded to everybody from Carmella regarding the stormwater permit. She said the wildlife and yard waste ordinances are something that have to be adopted.
Oh,
I said, please send me
from
a model one, and she sent a model one. So
okay.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, tailor it to us.
Yeah, definitely.
The reason we don't have it, Mike, is every time we've investigated,
nobody
it's
wants
prohibitively
it.
Expensive.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's too
nobody
much
will
money.
Do it
yeah.
for us, I know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And then we tried to talk to
stormwater permit.
I'm going to sit down and want to keep talking amongst yourself.
No, stay.
Actually, are you coming up to the mic again the second time around?
I'm going to come up and talk about environmental pollution.
Okay, great. I had a question. Okay, good.
How many times are you going to come up to the mic?
Do we have a limit?
Is this pay as
you talk? Pay as you talk, yeah.
So no, this is
words.
Too many times at the mic, you're going to end up at the council table.
So this is for the stormwater permit, the stormwater runoff.
It's connected to, Carmella's suggesting that we have.
I have gloves.
How
about we wait?
See how long the meeting is. And is that all, part of the Roosevelt water story, all of this, or there? Okay, so they're all kind of overlapping.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone else in the public who would like to come to the mic? All right, I will close public portion at 7:19. Correspondence. We have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated April 21st, 2023, regarding a new grant program called the Local Transportation Project Fund. We have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated April 25th, 2023, regarding Tier A, New Jersey Department of Environment. I don't know what's DES. Stormwater permit infrastructure mapping due by January 1st. 2026. We have a letter received from the New Jersey Department of Transportation dated April 25th, 2023 regarding the 2024 State Aid Program's application submission. And finally, we have a letter from Roberts Engineering dated April 27th, 2023 regarding the 2024 State Aid Program for Roadway Improvements. And you should all have those in your packet as letters.
A question.
Yes.
The first one, the letter, is that for road improvements?
The local transportation project fund?
Yeah, that's for Lake Drive, Spruce Court, or Rochdale, paving, milling, sidewalks, and curbs.
Yeah, Carmella has court in there, but it's actually Spruce Street.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It says a new program.
Well, there is a new program, but I'll be discussing that under finance if you want to.
Okay, do we have any more speech to do?
Well, the fourth letter that's in the packet from her, she recommends Rochdale Avenue curbs and sidewalks for this.
There's
new
two
program.
Different grants. Yeah, there's two different grants in here.
And then the state aid would be Lake Drive and Spruce Court.
Yeah, she has. There's so two recommendations because there's two different possibilities.
And it's curbs and sidewalks.
I'll go over that in finance and make it clearer.
Okay. All right. We have the minutes, regular meeting minutes from April 3rd, 2023. Do I have a motion to adopt?
Okay.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Second.
Discussion? Okay. Being none, I have a roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. The minutes from April 3rd, 2023 are adopted. Regular meeting minutes, April 17th, 2023.
Yes.
Okay. Second? A second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call.
Mr. Atwood?
Abstain.
Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right. Meeting minutes from April 17th, 2023 have been adopted. We have the second reading of Ordinance 2023-02, an ordinance amending Chapter 2, Administration, Article 7, Administrative Fees, Subsection 2-59, Borough Hall Rental. We have addition. You want to move to table it?
I'll move on that one for purpose of discussion because we have an upgrade here.
We have changes, right? So do you want to move to table it, or wait for the discussion at the end of the meeting, or do you want to discuss it now?
Wherever you want.
Since this is second reading, can we carry it over as a? We have a public hearing. We can have a public hearing and then continue that and carry it over. Can we do that? Or?
Well, I think part of what you want to discuss is to possibly change the text of what's proposed for a public hearing, correct?
Correct.
So if you have a change of it, you have to reintroduce it anyway.
Yeah, okay. All right. So we'll take motion. Motion to table. You want to make a motion?
The table is necessary.
Okay. Second.
Second. Can we discuss it now, or?
Sure.
Okay. Wait, do we need,
Mr. Atwood? This is to table this ordinance.
Okay, yeah.
2023-02. Mr. Essequa?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so this is tabled, and then you guys can discuss.
Right. Okay, so I think you're all aware, you've read the letter, that evidently we should have been charging each entity that rents the council room, not necessarily charging, but they must carry additional insurance. If they get it through GIF, it's about $100 for each time that they rent the room. And then I think there's a yearly, for someone like Rapp who rents it all the time, right? The way that they became aware that we weren't doing this was because when we posted the notice for the first reading, they saw it and they contacted us immediately.
Yes.
And said, oh no, there must be insurance, right? Additional insurance.
Makes
so
a lot of sense.
I guess, yeah, we're so easy with everything here. We don't often
and so that will put a burden on people, normal town people that want to use the place, but...
Well, I have to say, we're probably the only place that doesn't charge anything.
Yeah.
So at least $100, if they do it through GIF, is probably lower than most fees that are charged to rent a room. In addition to the insurance they would have to rent. But yeah, they were no nonsense about this. It wasn't like we called to see. They contacted us immediately upon reading that in the paper and said, where's it? Where's the insurance mentioned?
The woman she spoke with didn't give her any options.
No options. It's mandatory. It's not.
Well, listen, it makes sense because if somebody, they have a meeting here,
and
somebody
voice.
Gets hurt and decides to sue us because there was some water on the floor or whatever, which had nothing to do with us, but nevertheless, we have to be, somebody's got to be caught.
Well, Anna asked, are you talking about for alcohol? And they said, oh, no, just absolutely, rental of the room.
I thought the letter from the GIF person was succinct and right to the point.
Yeah.
That they should be out there with it. It shouldn't be, under our insurance. Be through their
having had a business when people called to do work with us, We'd say you need a certificate, a COI certificate of insurance.
That's right.
You need a resale certificate and a letterhead so we'll know who you are and how to get in touch with you.
Yeah, we insist on contractors.
Yeah, insurance was the first thing. Contractors have a whole litany of things to deal with. That's a state level thing, you know. So, yeah.
So, how do we want to.
Well, all we have to do is put in another. I think we have something, number three, I think, says something about liquor license, liquor charge. Yeah. Yeah. You just add another paragraph or another line. I'll take care of that for the next meeting.
Okay. Well, we'll have to make.
Is liquor allowed at a pub?
If you have insurance. We never did.
Right.
Historically, we didn't here, but then we found out, I think we were always told that we couldn't, but then we found out that we could. As long as there's insurance, there can be. Which I was surprised, because we never did, but.
So with the $100 that people might have to pay, would that cover them for liability for alcohol-related?
Yeah, I'm going to have Anna call, because I have a
feeling that. They have to fill out an application.
It's not. Okay,
they would.
So I guarantee that's one of the questions asked for an event.
Yeah.
Will alcohol be served at this event?
And then would there
I
be
bet it's $60 if you check no, and it's probably $120 if you check yes.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
So do we want to make that an option for people, or prohibit liquor?
Yes,
to which
liquor.
One?
Why not prohibit it? We just don't need. What about all the waste and bottles and stuff thrown around? And I don't know.
I don't think we should allow it. But as far as bottles, I mean, then people have water and soda bottles.
This is throwing bottles in my leg. I didn't judge.
If it was a vote, I would say no.
We could do a straw vote. Who thinks?
I think it should be separate.
Let's do this first. Who thinks we should prohibit it completely?
What?
Just a straw vote. Who thinks we should prohibit it completely?
You're talking about alcohol.
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I don't think it's necessary.
Four.
Okay, so we'll prohibit it.
You know who the alcoholic is now.
Alcohol is prohibited at Borough Hall.
I believe I have a version of the ordinance that says the insurance and that.
So he's going to update the ordinance. And
So if there's no alcohol, no cannabis also? Just check it.
There's no smoking in the building.
Take it outside.
Or have a drink outside. Have a patio.
You can't drink outside.
Open
up a can of
borough property. Not building, the
wait
property.
A minute.
So if you go outside and drink, you'll still be in trouble.
I believe that's already in the
law. Probably prohibited.
I don't know what's in there. No one knows. Okay, so we'll.
Is cannabis prohibited on the whole borough property?
Definitely in the parks and playgrounds. So when I put together, you guys tested my memory. Two years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we had public consumption. Anywhere you had alcohol that you couldn't drink, couldn't. We put cannabis next to it. That's probably the best way to say it.
How does drug-free school zones affect that with cannabis?
That whole.
That's a different law. It's a federal law.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Controlled Dangerous Substances Act still schedules. Marijuana is still a Schedule I drug.
Okay.
It's not called cannabis at the federal level. So, I mean, theoretically, if you were dealing a large amount of drugs that the DEA came for you within the school zone, the federal law would apply when you go to federal court, enhanced penalties.
Okay.
But for local, locally, the effect of that Drug-Free School Zone Act has fundamentally been that when people write municipal, like I've written municipal cannabis ordinances, I've always had not within 1,000 feet of a school, public or private pool, public, private daycare facility, youth center, all the things that are listed in the Drug-Free School Zone Act. Basically, you don't want drugs outside the YMCA. It's the other way to think of it. Schools and YMCAs and playgrounds.
Right.
It's more of an urban law if you really think about those places, right? And so they just modified their zoning so that they just basically comply with the federal law, so there's no real overlap. As far as the enforcement of public consumption of cannabis in New Jersey, the Attorney General guidelines and some of the provisions of the CREAM Act, the Cannabis Regulatory Act, have made it, you know, incumbent upon the police officers not to overstep boundaries. So fundamentally, the police are very hesitant to stop public consumption. You know, you can walk on the boardwalk in Asbury Park, I guarantee they'll stop you with a Miller Lite in your hand, but probably not if you're smoking something.
But Spring Lake would stop you and give you a fine?
Maybe. I mean, the police officers are very, you know, because of the social justice parameters of the CREAM Act that aren't present with the consumption of alcohol, you know, the local law enforcement officers are very hesitant to deal with it or write. You know, it's usually a throw it out, throw it in the sewer ticket. Yeah.
Really, more so than alcohol.
Yeah, because the CREAM Act has very specific social justice elements to it that put the onus fundamentally on police officers to not overstep the boundaries or they can be in legal trouble. So they, you know, they're a unionized force, and so they've decided we're just not going to do any of the enforcement.
How about Ocean Grove on Sundays?
No more. That was 30 years ago.
And Spring Lake, too.
Spring Lake, the Irish Riviera.
Yeah, the Irish Riviera. Yeah.
Only if you're on the right part of the cross. That's the smoky.
All right.
Okay, so we will.
So where are we?
We should. We are on so you have an ordinance that fits it?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I can take the. I recall writing a very comprehensive borough hall rental ordinance a year and a half ago that included insurance, and I had prohibited alcohol because I think you guys said leave it silent at the time.
Mm-hmm. We're teetotaling town here.
All right, so for next meeting?
So you'll take this info that they wanted plus whatever.
Yes, do you have the underlying Word document for that?
You're going to rewrite my masterpiece?
Could you shoot
document.
That to me?
Yeah, sure.
So we're going to put the insurance requirement in there and prohibition of alcohol. On the
yes, sir.
Right, okay.
Does that include the council?
Okay. Only alcohol.
Party?
Brown bag, guys, brown bag.
You insist.
I just see it. Illicit drugs, right?
Okay, we'll come to consent agenda resolutions.
Okay.
We have resolution 23-52, payment of bills for May 1st, 2023. Resolution 23-53, a resolution of the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt awarding a contract for improvements to Pine Drive, Phase 1. And resolution 23-54, resolution authorizing the mayor and municipal clerk to execute the FY 2024 to FY 2026 revised amendment agreement with the Monmouth County for cooperative participation in the community development program pursuant to the Interlocal Services Act.
I'll move it.
Second?
No second.
Any discussion or anything?
Yeah, there was an item that had some people had some questions about it on the bills list. Standard & Poor's Financial Analytical Services for $7,500. And we've got a part of an explanation on it, but I'm still not quite sure I understand it. That it was needed for I think it was
18
work that was done.
6, I think, was Homestead and Spruce or Elm. Homestead and Elm.
Yeah, and it might be a requirement to have a bond, a rating to redo the bond.
Yeah.
For that through
New Jersey
Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Right, for the NJIB. So that was originally, I thought, done.
It was done with a ban, probably. Is that
okay, so
if
now
see,
then,
if
is that right?
You have questions like that, if you call Anna, like Monday afternoon,
I spoke with Anna today.
Yeah.
And
but
she wasn't sure either.
We didn't really quite understand it.
It was a ban to a bond now, but is our lack of credit rating through Standard & Poor's making a difference in what's going on now for work that happened three, four, five years ago?
We get our bond money somewhere else.
This is NJIT. That's where the bond money comes
it's
from.
It's for the infrastructure. It's a requirement for the infrastructure, I guess,
so
to have the Standard
&
Poor's
needed to give us a rating.
It probably needs to maintain your rating.
Well, we lost our rating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's for financing. That's what Anna told me today.
We lost our AA rating.
So I think it's probably from a ban, which is a one-year kind of instrument, temporary.
Right.
instrument.
And you can do that up for 10 years, so if...
Yeah, that was from 2018.
And we're all caught up now.
Moving it. And yeah. He wants to move it over to New Jersey Infrastructure Trust, which requires a Standard & Poor's
right.
rating from the municipality to
right.
do that. Is
right.
that right?
Correct. Okay. That's my understanding, too.
Okay.
That makes sense, but do we ever get our rating back?
Well, we should get
I don't know about that, but we can talk to the CFO.
And my understanding was they wanted $15,000, and George negotiated to $75,000.
Half price, yeah. Just to get a rating. And we needed that for the NJIT. So I'm like,
do you get a higher rating if you pay more?
That's the new law for mortgages, not for...
I was going to say, that was 2008.
That's different. I thought about that, too.
No, so in order to switch it over to a bond instead of a band, I think we needed the rating, which is, So
well,
we're all caught up with the audits
yeah,
now,
yeah.
so
yeah.
Will we be able to get our AA rating back?
I would think so.
My financial people say we should have a good
yes.
rating.
We could talk on the finance.
We should talk to George.
Yeah.
All right.
Any other discussion or any other...
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Oh, this is for the consent agenda.
Right,
Okay, Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Mr. Herbstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
All right, consent agenda has been adopted. Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Well, I'm behind at some... I had put behind the town meeting about the Pine Drive speed bumps and so forth. Put together a town committee about that. Still working on that. Still trudging through that book also. Ellen has sent me some things. Other people have given me some ideas. So still need to put that together.
Okay. Well, I think we have time.
We
right?
do,
yeah.
Well, that's why
okay.
we decided we're
going to
like that.
Well, but what are we going to do? Yeah. We don't do speed bumps. We need to get some kind of consensus, but what are we going to do to help the speed
bumps? They have those little raised tape that goes called rumble strips, I think.
Yeah, they
don't
work
very well.
Yeah.
I think that might be a compromise.
I think it's best to people that I've talked to, whatever ideas that we come up with, whatever final idea we have, right. we would like the town people of it and input into it so they feel comfortable with voting.
You can always put spikes on them.
Yeah, those rolled out spikes at the cops.
Puppies.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they do with when you get back up, when you go
home. Yeah.
I'm sorry for the interference that we have with the sound here. The factory and I are trying to figure this out. We think it might be from the radios and the first aid squad.
I don't know. I saw The Exorcist the other night for the first time.
Do they still have the radios in there?
Kind of creepy noises coming out of the
radio. I thought they returned them.
I
don't think the radios are in there.
Well, they had repeaters, if not radios. I don't know. I don't know what's in there now. But this is RF interference. We can't figure out what it is.
Maybe there's something in there.
Talk to the factory and the factory.
Something up in there.
Yeah. Might be something.
Eliciting thing.
Could be. Maybe. With too many scripts.
Were mice in there?
Yeah, mice.
Plumbers.
Okay. Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
I don't remember that. Did I tell you that I spoke to Mr. Tim Hartley?
I saw the email.
Well, he did say that if we were going to do it, he says you can make it nice, really nice. You can convert it and make it very nice and useful.
Yeah.
But it's going to be expensive. Yeah. So we have to wait and see whether we get the money. And where the $70,000 is going to go. I'm still wondering what they're going to do with that money.
Well,
you can't really spend it.
Greg does think that he can do some things to begin with, to at least
to do something.
Yeah.
Because
he said, handy's probably an understatement, but, he said there's things that he can do for very little money, just first few baby steps.
Yeah.
To make it, like once the ambulance. Once the ambulances are out, once it's actually emptied out.
think
what
we.
What day is gone?
Well, I think we're going to go into executive session about this at the end of the meeting. So let's hold it till then. Okay. Are you finished?
I was done before I started.
Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Well, there was a bunch of engineering things on there from Roberts Engineering. It was part of it's on the agenda. If you've read through it, there's a new fund, I guess you could call it a grant or aid program, a local transportation project fund. This is new money. It's due June 30th. That's the deadline. And Carmella is recommending that we, under this new program, apply for Rochdale Avenue curbs and sidewalks.
Both sides, Mike? I read her email, but I wasn't sure if it was...
It wasn't clear as to whether or not it was both sides.
Yeah, there were two of them, and the first one was curbs and sidewalks.
No, but I mean, as far as curbs and sidewalks, we're just doing the school side. I guess it maybe depends how much money we would be awarded.
Yeah.
Whether we could do both or just the school side.
So that's a new pot of money, the local transportation grant fund. So she would like us to put one grant in for that, to see if an application for that grant. That would cost us $3,500 for her to submit and prepare that grant. And then we have the standard municipal aid grant for roads. She's suggesting Lake Drive and Spruce Street. And the cost for that application would be $4,000. So it's more road work, paving, milling, that kind of thing, also sidewalks and curbs. I don't know about other infrastructure with that, water or sewer lines. I don't think...
If we choose to do, or if it's possible to do Rochdale, the water line across the street from Borough Hall here between Pine Drive and the end of the water line should be done.
Yeah.
Because the county road, the county will be involved. We have to rip the street up. We've had two water main breaks there.
Right in the same place, essentially.
20 feet apart.
Yeah.
So we know that line is lousy, and it's got to be replaced. The house across the street was the original model house for the town.
Yeah, right there.
Standard.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first lines that went in to have water here, and it's probably one of the oldest. So if it's possible to parlay onto the curbs and sidewalks to do the water main over there also, I think that would be a necessity.
I don't think that's allowed, Chuck.
You know, it's not allowed?
I think you can do, paving, curbs, and storm sewer.
Right.
But I don't believe you can do water main and sanitary sewer.
Under
right
that
on
grant
that?
Right.
You can't do the sanitary
sewer. Under that grant?
Which grant are we talking about? The DOT grant?
Yeah,
that's right.
You can't get the sewer pipes hooked up from the DOT grant.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you might not want to do them at the same time, the
we
same project.
We might want to do it anyway. Because
that grant, Steve's correct, that grant will not.
Okay, but we might want to pay for that just because it's we have to wait 5 years after they repave the county road in order to open it up again.
And when did they pay that? It looks fair on
the news. Oh, 5-6 years ago.
Oh, it is
6 years ago.
Yeah.
And so we're beyond that wait period now. But if we're going to open the street up, I'd say it's kind of a necessity to do this one stretch, not the whole thing, but this one stretch here.
We need to approve, if we want Carmella to apply for these grants or this aid, we need to approve a $4,000 expenditure for the Lake Drive and Spruce Court application. And $3,500 for the Rochdale curbs and sidewalks. Under two separate grants now. So apparently there's more money. The state seems to have some more funding available, which is
from all the cannabis sales.
Yeah, well, maybe. But the state's in fairly good shape financially, from what I could see, looking at the state budget. But it's probably worth our while to file. Or to get Carmella to make those applications, just to see.
So could we ask Carmella to look into the water main, just this one section there, and how much
I think it makes sense, because that'll go into our decision-making as to whether or not we want to even do that, even do the paving and all.
And should we ever want to do something at the old gas station?
Well, I was just going to say, why don't we ask her? She had, I told you she had given me an estimate, but it was right before COVID, so I'm not sure if that, you know, monetary amount would still stand. At the time, she thought it would be about $80,000.
Yeah, but if it was part of this, this is expensive also.
Right,
but
so we should ask her.
At least, I mean, there should be a blowout at the end over there, something to bleed the water, because it's stagnant there. There's no place to let the water run.
Yeah.
It's a dead end. So there should be a hydrant or a blowout there. And there should also be a fitting there in case we want to go under the creek to the gas station. Then it's accessible. It's available to us should we ever want to at least do the water part.
So can we ask Carmella to address all those things?
Yeah.
I guess the price will go up, but well, with the additional.
I think these two are separate, so
right,
I could have two resolutions
right
at the next meeting.
Yeah, let's keep it neat and clean.
And then you guys discuss. That's the
because one of them has a June 30th application deadline.
Yeah, our next meeting is the
15th. And that's pretty quick.
Right,
right,
very quick. But our next meeting is the 15th, so it should be okay.
And then we have three Mondays before
yeah,
our
next, right.
Yeah, yeah, for the next meeting,
so
I think.
So I can put these two on for
yeah,
the next meeting,
yeah, that,
and then you guys
exactly
discuss about the.
Or could we do it for this meeting? Like,
I don't have anything.
No,
Carmella's got to be advised so she'll know how much to charge us. Even
well, for the beginning part of it, she told us. So
no,
then we, if we add to it.
Yeah.
And then we had the correspondence about the stormwater mapping, you know, and we're likely to need it for a Tier A, new designation as a Tier A status there. Within the next 3 years, it's going to be a requirement. And so there was money that needs to be approved for that. What was the amount on that? Do you remember?
From Carmella?
Yeah.
For Tier A?
65.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. 6,500.
Yeah.
Now
6,500.
There's 75,000 available to smaller municipalities through things that Ellen knows about, the Environmental Commission.
Well, that's the MS4 permit, which I just it's on
we
the desk for you
in
to sign. It's
yeah
just a basic, put your name, who's responsible for the stormwater.
We applied for the $75,000.
Right.
We did.
And
okay.
We haven't yet.
Okay.
I haven't submitted it. But
all contingency plans are in place.
Sounds good. Okay.
So it's a good sign.
There's a spy here. Okay.
So the
yeah
good news is there's grants and new pools of money that are available,
yeah,
but they also require municipal spending too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We love grants because we look at it as, you know, the state is subsidizing temporarily now while it has money, road repairs, that kind of thing. But if additional work is needed, that cost is going to be on us. And I think we need to be kind of more careful about that as we go along, because there's a lot of things that we might be spending money on. For instance, if we get the amphitheater, the money for the amphitheater, that's matching funds, it's county funds, but we may have to put out a fair amount of money as part of our matching funds for that. That's another expenditure. So there's a lot of grant money available, which is great, but usually there's a corresponding amount.
Well, we have to find the money or bond.
Yeah, right.
You know the expression,
right, we would
you
bond
have to
it, yeah
spend money to make money.
Well,
so you have to spend on Carmella.
You can find yourself out of business.
Yeah, that's true. So we're going to have to look at that and see about all the spending. I mean, we love grants, but we have to look at how that's going to work out over time, because you do have to pay bonds, principal, and interest.
There's a lot of balls in
there. It starts to make a layer that adds up, and then, you know, sooner or later taxes have got to go up. So we're going to take a look at that and get George Lang in and do some projections as to what if. And we also have the project that we know we're going to need for the sewer treatment plant.
Yep, yep.
And that's a big, hefty price tag on that. Michael Tickton, who's on the school board, showed me some stats. School aid was cut this year, and it was basically the line that gave more money to for COVID to school systems, that kind of thing. It was cut $100,000, which means that the school has to make up for those cuts if it wants to maintain the programs. It looks like school taxes may have to go up around 9%.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit more than 9%, just to make up for the cuts in the state aid. They're not spending more money. They just, you know,
compensating for what they was lost.
Yeah, and so where I'm going with this is whenever you hear that the school may have to raise taxes, the municipality needs to be very careful. You don't want taxpayers to get the double whammy. You don't want them to have tax increase on the school end and on the municipal end at the same time. When you have that, it's like the 1-2 punch. People really feel it, especially people who are on fixed incomes. It's not easy. So I think we need to really take a very careful look at spending, what we want to do, and how we want to spend it. And it's going to take some real thinking and some projections. So we'll be looking at all that. But yeah, good news is there's a lot of grant money available. Bad news is it usually means you have to spend money to get that money too. But we'll be looking at it, and we'll be looking at the budget figures for in order to prepare for the next municipal budget. That's going to happen soon. I'll talk to George about it, and we'll try to get some dates for meetings to meet with our CFO.
Is our state budget in yet? Or
no.
No, it's way too early.
I won't be in for a while. I don't think.
New York just put
it in. Jersey.
Yeah, New Jersey doesn't share many things with New York.
If possible, I'd like committee heads to start thinking about if there are anything you have in mind or your committee has in mind that you might want to spend money on, start thinking about that because we need to figure out how that would fit in.
Wish list.
Yeah, a wish list and all, but I would really like to hear from the various committees as to things that they might, you know, want to spend money on and things worthwhile.
I've had some people, I guess some newer people, ask about what the possibilities, whether it's the town's responsibility or the county's, of guardrails on Rochdale for walkers. Now, I don't know how that fits in with any of this.
Yeah, if it's on 571, it's the county.
So, well, that's the streets and sidewalks at Carmel's.
So could
yeah, but
you have
to, it has to be approved by the county.
The county to have that, you know, it would make it great for walking. You know, a lot of people walk on Rochdale.
Where would you put the guardrails? On the street or on the sidewalk?
What sidewalk?
Yeah. Well, at least a guardrail. I mean, if we don't have sidewalks, people still walk on Rochdale. They walk on the trail. But if there's a guardrail, at least they'd have some buffer zone between speeding trucks and cars.
It's strictly up to the county whether they would give us
approval.
The
county won't let you put it on the road.
No.
The county won't pay for it.
You ask,
they won't pay for it, no.
But they tell you whether or not you could do it.
Right, but they mostly tell us no. We wanted to, you know, decrease the speed limit to 25. They said no, like whatever we ask, they said.
Yeah, but that gets also very difficult with the rules for guide rails and our driveways,
with
the terminal ends and all that.
Right.
It would be, I would think it would be almost impossible because
of
the houses.
I think the answer is no, Bob.
Yeah,
tell the residents no.
But anything like that comes up from residents or whatever, and you think it might be something that we want to toss around and possibly plan for those expenditures to make the town a better place. It's good to start thinking about that now because we will be having finance committee meetings to do the budget. Finance committee is always, we're really busy during this coming stretch and prep for the municipal budget. And then after that, you know, we don't have so many meetings. So, but this is a key time to start thinking about expenditures. End of report.
Thank you.
The mapping, we're not moving forward until you have a finance meeting?
No. The mapping, I think you kind of have to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
just
have
the two resolutions, and then you went to this and to...
Yeah, sorry. I neglected the $6,500 for the mapping. I think we need a resolution.
So the consensus is to put a resolution?
We need a resolution for that, too.
Okay.
Well, we'll vote on it, yeah. we'll see what the consensus is for the council.
No, tonight, to move forward by putting a resolution
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't see us getting, not being able to avoid being tier A. I just wish they would, that they would pay, have grants for that kind of thing, for expenditures for small towns to meet these regulations, new regulations.
I thought there was. I thought there was a possibility of a grant.
No, but $75,000 that we're applying for.
Right, yeah. That's yeah.
So okay. Just going to so sign the paper, Mary.
Yeah, it's just yeah. some, it's some, it's a help.
Yeah, we'll see if, yeah.
But you don't get your, you don't get noticed until December, whether you receive
yeah.
it or not. So
yeah.
it's a, okay. we'll put it in, but it's not until yeah. December.
Yeah. Just an application.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, but I think we're likely to need that stormwater mapping. And it's not a bad idea to have it anyhow, I think,
mm-hmm.
in a database.
Okay, so
okay.
I'll have that one on next, too.
All right. Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development.
Okay. On the Amphitheater Committee, we had a meeting on April 20th for the rest of the committee to meet. The consultant that was chosen, the ETO consultant, David Stittler. And he sort of laid out you know, the scope, listened to what the members you know, had to say at that point, and we agreed that our next meeting would be June 9th for them to come back with three scenarios to present, and that will be at 3 o'clock here at the Borough Hall on June 9th. And then we'll have some a chance to hone that down you know, after we hear that presentation. And the other thing that went out was a flyer. This is on the senior housing to see if we have enough interest, you know, to do something here besides perhaps some people going to Millstone as well. And the deadline was today, and I haven't seen the final number, you know, to see what came back, you know, so we can report on that.
Thank you, Connie. Okay, Councilmember Mopper, Public Works.
Not a lot. I guess Public Works has been on vacation for a while. they did do a little clearing out around the outside fence at the water plant, I'm told.
We still need the sewer plant outer fence done also. So.
Oh, that'll be a fun one.
The more we wait, the more fun it will be.
Well, we had a huge tree come down on Pine.
It wasn't huge.
Well, it was
no, but it was
medium.
It was a lot there.
It was
there.
Enough.
Yeah, it was, yeah the yeah. main thickest part of the trunk was in the woods, but it
yeah.
was a lot.
Who cleared
but
that, by the way?
I was able to get someone to clear it. To,
somebody
to
did. Somebody chopped it up.
Yeah, I was able to get to have some hire someone to do that. So. It's scary though because it's been so windy and some of the trees are old and
yeah.
creaking.
I let Anna know today that between the school and the creek on the school side, there's a tree about 30 degrees hanging over Rochdale Avenue, tall enough to hit the wires, the high tension wires for the electricity. So she called that in, and there are trees leaning here and there.
Yeah.
And there was an accident on 571 in front of the Mendy's the other day. Somebody took a telephone pole down.
Yeah.
And really took it down.
Yeah.
And that was, we're lucky we had electricity after that. One of the high tension lines was the cross member was hanging off the high tension line there. So. That's
well, we're under Public Works. Ben and I were out on the trail
yeah.
across from where I live that section of the trail, and we were able to clear out maybe three of the drainage ditches so that they flow freely, and it was really hard work, I have to say. I don't know about you, Ben, but I needed to rest my muscles the next day because you're really digging and shoveling things to get that flowing, but it's rewarding because the water is draining from that swampy area across the trail and into the creek in the back, and now the creek is flowing pretty well and it's draining all the way to the Assanpink, and so things are starting to flow and move a little better, so drainage looks a little better, but after this last rain, there's a lot of water out there, and a lot of flooding on that trail too.
Yeah. I was out there last night, and it's coming from New York. It took me 3 hours, a little over 3 hours, to get from South Long Island.
Yeah.
Southwest Long Island.
Wow.
But I'd like to recommend that we purchase a ditch hoe or whatever. It's a small rake, metal rake, and it has angled tines on the end. It's small, about this wide. And so you can take it and actually rake out the muck and the leaves. It makes it a lot easier to do than using a shovel or anything else because they're heavy. But that kind of work needs to be done along the trail and in other parts of town, and I just think you really need to keep things moving. And it's useful also around the storm drains to clear out those things. But they're not expensive. It's like maybe $80 for a good one. It's just a manual hand tool.
Do you have a proper name for it so Anna can look it up?
It depends on who's doing the work and what they call it.
The rake, the prong, yeah.
These things have nicknames, depending on what you want to call it.
Explain that to Anna so she knows.
Okay. Steve.
Or Steve.
What?
Whatever you call this thing.
It sounds like you're trying to get me in trouble.
you could probably Google it. I think you'd come up with something. a ditch rake or something like that. You'd come up with something. But it would make the job a lot easier. And I think as we go along, we seem to be having prolonged storm events with more rain and leading to more flooding, as we can see around town. And water is the theme here, and with water a lot of the work that we need to do. We're always dealing with water, aren't we?
How does it flow?
And we need to do our best to keep it flowing and things draining, or else we're going to have problems moving forward. So
if we could train the beavers, that would be
to
a whole different story.
Train them to drink. Okay, Councilmember Trammell, utilities.
Things are moving along. The 10-horsepower pump at the sewer treatment plant got replaced. That's good. And the 5-horsepower pump is still waiting for parts, so that's not too bad. That's about it. Steve showed me where there was an additional drain coming off of Lake going into the Beaver area there. So apparently Carmella's been around looking at all the storm drainage stuff, so that's really where we're at now. We're down to drainage in town, which is an amazing thing. Since 10 years ago, we had a problem with water, we had a problem with sewer, we had a problem with pavement, we had everything. And now it's getting narrowed down to the point that where does the water go, like what Mike says here. So that's it. Also, the beavers from the Assam tank, the water around the sewer plant is pretty much cleared at this point, even after the big rain we had this past weekend. So the ladies that came and chased the beavers away did a great job. They were out there with kayaks on the Assumpton Creek, and they chased the beavers back to the big dam. And
Which big dam?
The Assumpton Lake is about east to west, about a mile and a half, I'd say, and it's about a half mile wide, depending on where you are. And about a mile from the boat ramp towards the sewer plant, there's like a 3-foot-tall by half mile wide beaver dam. And that's the mother dam.
You're not talking about the one on our bike path.
No, those are local beavers.
I know.
Nothing compared
local
to the
local entertainment.
Ones. Yeah, the ones in the Assumpton are for real. They're like, so what happens is
the ones here are for real too. You see how they decimated them.
Yeah, but they're fun here. Over there, they're a problem. You know? So what happens is when the water backs up to the sewer plant, then the effluent can't flow out of the sewer plant, and that becomes a DEP problem with the state, with us. We want to avoid that. So we've gotten the state DEP, we've gotten the Fish and Wildlife people, and we've gotten our Larry Sear, who's our local DEP guy for our sewer, and So everybody's involved, and they're pushing the right buttons on the state all the way down to the local level. And these gals came in and kicked butt. I mean, they really made it so the water flows off of the Assunpink Creek all the way to the Assunpink Lake. And they did a great job. And they might have to keep coming back.
And they really liked the beavers, too. I had a discussion with them. They were very impressed with their work ethic.
The beavers' work ethic. Yeah.
Yeah, the beavers, yeah.
The beavers are amazing.
Yeah, so they're in competition with the beavers' work ethic.
The beavers build it, beavers. They tear it down.
Damned if you
do and damned if you don't.
Yeah, but the beavers are out there morning till dusk.
But I'll tell you, it made a big difference, and I have to say that Joe kept on pestering them at the DEP and calling them and saying, when are you going to send somebody out here to clear that? Because it's backing up, and I really appreciate that because it was flooding.
In your backyard.
This rain that we had over the last 3 days, my whole backyard would have been flooded near my house. I mean, really, on my property.
Yeah.
But it's draining now. It's not a real problem. It's going down.
Right.
So
it's
making a big difference, all of the drainage things that we do.
Yeah, and when Larry Sear, our DEP guy, came to walk around the sewer plant to see what the water level was, last time around, he wouldn't do it because the grass was growing, there's ticks, there's poison ivy. That's why we need to have somebody come in and clear that at least 3 or 4 feet so we can walk the perimeter and know what's going on with the water levels.
Well, I was wondering, couldn't we add that to Kyle's contract?
That's up to Anna and Powers the day, but it's
if he's willing to do it, then
I think
we
could
add it to the contract.
It's borough property.
Yeah.
It might be a lot more costly, though.
It's a lot more costly to have somebody come in and just whack it. You know, but it's got to be done. Got to be done.
Mm-hmm.
So the officials can come and walk around the perimeter of the plant and say, the water's up to here.
I think we should look into adding it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We measured at the fence. The
you can't count on just somebody going in and whacking it.
So it's got to be done just because, for ease of knowing what the water level is around the plant. It became a peninsula. This was like bad. You know, the sewer plant was almost an island unto itself. Not a cool thing. But the beavers are, the gals took care of the beavers. That's it.
First you'd have to get a price, and you guys, since we already approved that one contract, you're going to have to do it again, or is this for next year?
No, for now.
The longer we wait, the harder
we'll have to get a price.
Because stuff is growing.
Yeah, we'll take Kyle
price
out there and see what kind of price.
Yeah.
How often do you think it has to be done? Every
month?
Once a month?
2 months.
I would say every 2 months.
Some of it depends on how much it rains.
It's a weed whacker.
And depending on the time of the year and how much it rains.
Okay. We'll take
care of
it.
It's not a cosmetic thing. It's like a safety thing. You know, you'll be able to walk the fence.
I just don't know what his contract was versus are we going to be over the 17? I don't know what the price
was. We need to show him first and see what he's saying.
Yeah, he has to give
us a price, and then we'll
need another quote from somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, you got
to
follow the local public contract
law.
All right.
How much did they
need? Okay, reports of borough officials. Michael, do you have? Well, there's also the either one. You could do it now or public comment, whatever you want.
Well, Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley.
Didn't move since the last. You were up here?
Now I'm at 12. Environmental Commission is very busy. You may have not received it yet, but there is a calendar coming in the mail that shows events for this month and next month. We're doing stuff. One thing it doesn't show is the events at the compost display area. We do have an event there once a month during the more warmer seasons. And that will really help with your yard waste collection program that you're going to start. I would like a fellow Environmental Commission member, Ben Johnson, to come up and tell you about our school program that we did for Earth Day.
Ellen, either when Ben has finished or now. I just wanted to ask a question, which I brought up years ago, but it's really gotten much more severe. So most of the green acres, the trees are all down. The trees are gone. There's huge swaths of just, you know, ground with no trees at all, whether it's in the woods between our houses, like Homestead and Farm, or like across from the triangle at Homestead. Are we permitted to plant trees there, or can the environmental
commission? We are definitely permitted to plant trees. That would be part
ideal
of your tree planting program.
Yeah.
And I think a whole open space analysis should be done. Some of it is because they were grown very closely together and they're aging out.
Aging out.
But also, we've had quite a bit of change due to the rain. Being more water is going down there, more of just more water,
yeah,
storm water,
yeah.
Water coming down,
the water table is
really and the water table has changed,
yeah,
and that also has taken out a lot of trees.
So I had one more question about that. So possibly Mike asked for, you know, the different committees to give their wish list. So could it be that maybe Environmental Commission's budget could be increased a little bit so they could purchase trees?
Yeah.
Part of our, once we get our tree inventory done, that sets us up for grants also.
Okay. And they'll go into our backyards?
It can. Yeah, I think we would need a committee to determine what we want for our tree, plan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't usually walk into the woods, but I can see Lou's house now, where I never used to be able to see any house.
Oh, that's shocking. We better get a tree there right away.
Because
you don't want to know what Lou does in the backyard.
Or what he's eating for dinner. But I walked back there, and I was horrified. And the same, you know, the triangle at Homestead,
mm-hmm,
whether you go in from the triangle side, whether you go in from Eleanor Road. So, I mean, the trees are just gone.
It's happening all over.
Oh, I know. Even if you drive to Millstone, you
yeah
see it. But here, we like our trees. It's really been, it's upsetting.
It is, and I think that needs to be thought of, and I will look
think
into
about
that.
It.
But and I have been doing some thinking about that. But again, I think the first thing, let's get that tree inventory and hazardous, and just really set up a good program for it.
Okay, thank you.
So let me.
I know Mike had his hand up for a comment with her.
He's part of her.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
No, it's okay, Ben. Because Ben's is like piggybacking on.
You got to introduce him?
Do you
want
to say to him?
He forgot he wanted to talk.
Well, there's a choice. I'm sorry. Ben Johnson, 36 Pine. We were at the school for Earth Day and had kindergarten and third grade doing a little program that Ellen set up, basically. Anyway, and Steve Taylor was instrumental in pointing us in the right way, otherwise we wouldn't have known what tree we were looking at. So we used a program put out by NLFIG called iTree, and a very, very useful, very user-friendly program. Actually, it's a series of seven modules, but what we were using was the simplest one, so we call it MyTree. And anyway, so just to give you an idea, I don't want to take a lot of your time, but we
tags, which is a report of the benefit that that tree, this particular tree, provides. And I can pass this around. We have a whole bunch of different trees tagged. Basically, it gives you the benefit analysis in terms of benefit to the environment, broken down into four categories: carbon dioxide sequestered, in other words, saved from the air, storm water intercepted, meaning less runoff, air pollution removed, and depending on the location of the tree, possible energy savings to experienced by the existing nearby structure, if there is a nearby structure. Obviously, the school is a nearby structure, but that's not always true. So, just to give you an idea, this isn't the world's greatest candidate.
I've seen tree tags on the trail, Ben. Are these like those, or a little more explanatory?
The ones on the trail are identification.
Okay.
So, like,
okay, it's more the ecological information there. Yeah. Okay.
This is more about, you know, taking benefits to humans, putting a dollar amount on it, and saying this tree is worth this amount.
Gotcha. Okay.
So this is a sweet gum, which of course is one of our favorite trees. and it's a good size one. So just to give you an idea, this was run for an annual versus the other option. You could run the program for 20-year benefit. Anyway, annually, doesn't sound like much, but it does have a total benefit of $32.03. But what really matters, or at least certainly impresses me, is that carbon dioxide, this one tree, in the course of a year, would have absorbed 22 pounds. Mm-hmm. And stormwater intercepted, intercepted meaning multiple things, absorbed by the roots and so forth, 643 gallons.
That's a lot of water.
A fair amount of water.
Takes a lot of water to make those sweet gum balls. Exactly.
And what can we do with the sweet gum balls?
Yeah. We can make Christmas ornaments. Yeah, right.
When you step on them?
When you curse, just remember
to save the okay.
Air pollution, broken down to ozone, is 13 ounces. Nitrogen dioxide is like 1 ounce. Salt. Sulfur dioxide, less than 1/10 of an ounce. Large particulate matter, 1/2 an ounce. But this one tree, sizable tree, within, to have any reasonable effect on if a structure, it has to be within 60 feet. And this particular tree was. So energy savings per year from this one tree alone, $24.78.
Is that from air conditioning? For keeping the air conditioning cost?
Exactly.
Stuff like that, yeah.
It's a combination of fuel and electricity. Yeah. That's actually the savings.
Nice.
Anyway, so that's kind of like a report card for this tree.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And going beyond that, I thought it might be interesting. That'll take a lot of time. I ran this program. This is a simple program, but pretty informative. I ran it for all the trees in Roosevelt. And I have copies if you want to see it, or I could just read it, whatever.
Well, if you have copies, it would be good if we could look at it.
We'll do it that way. This, again, is annual benefit. Annually, they're quite impressive. Because we're talking about like 650 some acres that are in the canopy of the town, which is like 58% of our land mass.
106,000, nice. Mm-hmm. Should get a report card for the beavers also.
Still pretty simplistic.
So, Ben, can you do it per property?
You can. Yeah, you can do it per tree. If you have a tree that you're interested in, you know, that for whatever reason you want to find out what the impact is environmentally, it is very simple. You put in your location, the diameter of the tree, and the species. Mm-hmm. And the outfit that put this together was basically U.S. Forest Service in conjunction with Davy Tree Specialist or something like that.
Davy's Tree Specialist.
Yeah, you're seeing them out here. They do something, but the company started iTrees
with
U.S.
Forest. Right. They do a Forest Service basically had a bank of data, a lot of research, and the Davy people came in and did the programming. It's about 15 years ago that they started this.
There was a forest tree population thing that the environmental committee did a few years back. You had to hire a forester to come in and do a tree population.
Yeah, community forest management plan.
Okay.
And but we never did a complete
inventory. It was a tree inventory.
We can't, or a plot inventory. That's why
we
wanted to do it now.
Okay.
That would have given us more strong.
Right. Okay. So this is like you're doing an inventory yourself almost here.
In a way. It is.
It's a pretty powerful program, and it's for free.
Okay.
That's a great part of that.
All seven modules are free. Cool. Some of them quite sophisticated. I mean, you can fine tune this to measure the impact of ozone in the atmosphere within a specific geography by the hour.
By the hour.
By the hour. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
Anywhere in the country.
Like when all the cars are going for rush hour, you're going to have more ozone.
It's really, they have a continually updated database. And it draws on all this.
Ben, what I found interesting is that you looked into it, and what did it say about Roosevelt compared to the rest of the county?
Oh, that. Wait a second. I thought you might talk to me. anyway, okay. Yes, when I ran the program for what you're looking at, the total canopy for Roosevelt, 53 municipalities in the county, of Monmouth, we came out number one.
Oh, nice.
When?
When was that? When you ran it.
Recently?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, 56.84% canopy coverage. Brings us out at number one. Second highest is Howe at 48%. Millstone, you would think, would be up there, and it is 44.6. Manalapan, 37 plus. Allentown, 32. And then you get into, as you would logically expect, short towns. Mm-hmm. It dips down appreciably because
no trees.
Right. So at, you know, at the bottom you have 3% Seabright. Anyway, beyond that, what else was interesting out of this? right, a 10% change in the canopy, of Roosevelt's canopy, which doesn't sound like a whole heck of a lot, but it would make a difference of $1,161 in benefit off of that top number that you have on your sheet here, which also makes the difference of, depending on whether you're adding to the canopy or subtracting to it, of 2,424 tons. I'm sorry, 2,924 tons, which is a lot of stuff, especially since it's carbon. And just a mere 76,000 gallons of water. So, and 5,800 pounds of various pollutants constituting air pollution. So it's a major consequence. Of course, 10% is a fair number of trees.
Is there a way that the Environmental Committee can check the air in town, or is that something that isn't necessarily?
You mean from this program?
Not from the program, but in general, the air quality here versus around Monmouth County, around New Jersey. With all these trees, it sounds like we're going to have some of the better air.
Well, of course we have some of the better.
You know, yeah. Just, yeah.
But I know.
Just curious. Yep.
Just a couple other facts I have got out of that report. The rainfall, it's again, Roosevelt-wide, rainfall absorbed by tree roots keep the equivalent of one Olympic-sized pool of water out.
Wow.
Of the storm.
One tree?
Pardon me?
One tree?
No.
The whole canopy would fill an Olympic-sized pool.
Okay. That's still a lot of work.
It's a lot.
Okay. Sure. And Connie, to your question about if it's just one tree. So I play around with that. I took a large red maple that's in front of my place. And just quickly, on an annual basis, the total benefit is $7. It sounds like nothing, but
one tree.
It's one tree, and it's only 1 year. 84 pounds of carbon dioxide absorbed, 530 gallons of water intercepted, otherwise absorbed, roots, whatever, and, well, the other numbers are pretty minor. But the last thing I wanted to point out is that I pretended that I cut down every tree on my property. Just clear cut everything, just to get an impact of what that would mean. Because, as we all know, it has happened in this town. Anyway, not necessarily as many trees as I have, but I have 23 trees of one type or another. Some of them spruce, they're not huge. But anyway, 23 trees. If they were all to come down, I would be throwing 475 pounds of carbon dioxide back into the air. Yeah. In other words, it would still be in the air. It wouldn't be absorbed. 5,900, actually round numbers, 6,000 gallons of rainwater would be out there in the storm drains or somebody's backyard, maybe Mike's. Flew it away. Energy, increase in the energy bill, $71 a year, which is not a lot, but that's
$71.
Still right. And I'm sorry. That's basically it. That's what I wanted to mention to you.
So what are you hoping to do with this? What's the goal? Is there a goal that you want from the council, or what
no,
are you thinking?
I think this is a very powerful educational tool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have someone who approaches for a permit for a healthy, large tree, you can say, well, you know these have all these benefits. Why don't we go out there and measure it and run it through this program? This is what you're losing.
Well, if I can interject here, I've been wanting to bring this up for a while, but we just seem to always have so many other things that take precedence. But, you know, as you know, we passed a tree ordinance a few years ago because we were, I mean, to be honest, horrified at people moving in and clear-cutting. And we, you know, kind of passed it pretty quickly. But I don't believe that there's anything in the ordinance that says that if you remove a tree, you have to plant a tree in its place. And what a lot of people are doing is they'll cut the tree down and pay the fine rather than ask for permission. And I was wondering how the council felt about amending the ordinance to say that any tree that's taken down has to be replaced.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. And
how do you enforce that?
Well, I think code enforcement would.
Yeah,
in other words, you have to.
What is the punishment if they don't?
Well.
Well, if you don't punish, you're not going to get anywhere.
Well, I mean, there's always criminals in the world who aren't going to follow the law, and then there's always people. But, I mean, I think for the most part, if someone applies for a tree permit and they're told that they have to put another tree in its place, sure, there'll be some people who won't follow that, but some people will.
But are you saying replace it anywhere on your property or in the same spot? Because there could be a reason.
I would think just you have to plant. How does it work in other...
Well, usually you have a tree conservation officer who reviews permits for removals of trees of a certain size and tells the people what the equivalent replacement is according to standards in the ordinance.
And change, who pays for that, the resident or the town?
The resident pays an application fee, but tree conservation officer, depending on how much work that is and who you hire, can, that's the real administrative cost.
Does the tree have to be planted on their property, or can it be planted elsewhere in town?
Most of the ordinances say it can be planted someplace else in town, or you can make a monetary contribution to a reserve fund that's reserved for the planting of shade trees elsewhere.
So I would think, is everybody in favor of it? Obviously not tonight, but amending our ordinance so that we can include...
I'm in favor. Yeah. Can we look at some model ordinances for that?
Yeah.
I think you
guys received the information about the model tree ordinance.
Yes.
So maybe start with that.
That's good.
Yeah. Because I realized, even if you get a permit, you're still taking down a tree.
Yeah.
We still have a loss of trees, so I realized we need to have it stated that it has to be replaced.
It's dead, and that's the reason to take a tree down,
Yeah, but...
It's dead or it's whatever, that's one thing. But if they go around trying to clear cut or whatever, or they decide that's not there, they want to put a cabana there or whatever... That's a different story. The question is, if you don't have some kind of a penalty for that, it has no teeth.
Instead of a fine, why couldn't it be a permanent increase in their taxes?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're taking down, you can't.
Okay. But you can fine them.
Can you tie it somehow?
Everyone has to be taxed on the same basis according to the Constitution.
I mean, for instance, you're just saying the tree, if it's a large tree they're taking down, it has more of an impact on the community than a smaller tree. There must be some way that you can assess.
Yeah, if you take down in Bradley Beach, if you take down a 36-inch tree, which is a very big tree, you have to pay almost $3,000. If you take down a 5-inch tree, you only have to pay like $250.
A healthy tree.
You know, there's all kinds of, like the ordinance has general parameters. Clear cutting is not allowed. 25% of it has to go to cut. Some more towns say if you're cutting more than 25% of the trees on the property, it has to go to the zoning board for approval. I mean, there's all kinds of different levels of regulation. They generally have general rules as to clear cutting. If it's disease, you can take it down. You usually have to pay the application fee anyway.
There was a house on Tamara before we put the ordinance in place, and the tree was so huge and beautiful and old and in perfect health that the tree company, the guys who do this every day of their lives and don't really think about it, actually stood there and said, "This is a sin." So how does everyone feel about hiring on a, you know, as per needed basis? Tree conservationist or an arborist. We have to find out. But I mean, can we find? All right. Right. But I'm just saying. Or is that something you'd be interested in pursuing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I've said this a number of times. When we were listed in New Jersey Magazine in 2005 as the number one town in all of New Jersey, they called us an agrarian rural community. And then, you know, it's horrifying that it's bad enough to lose the trees through attrition, through old age, and through, you know, non-native species crushing them in the water table. But then when people are just taking them down, it's, you know, I find it unacceptable, taking down a healthy tree. When I've asked new people why they would take it down. I mean, I try to ask nicely, but like, why did? And they, all the new people say the same exact thing. I don't want to rake. You don't have to rake. Or don't move to the country.
My neighbor was told when they had solar panels put in, the company said the tree is going to hinder the.
Yeah, but they took that tree down way after the panels were already in.
I know, but because that was part of the.
Yeah, that was one of the. That to me, that was one of the top three trees in Roosevelt. That was a sin. Yeah. Okay, Mike, did you want to come up to the?
Okay, Michael, Section 37, North Valley Road. Okay, several things.
One, first of all, one of the questions, I think you had asked a question about the whether you could plant trees, whether we could plant trees in the public lands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, certainly. The borough owns the public land. The borough can do, the council can certainly authorize the planting of trees there, certainly.
And how about if an individual, like suppose I just wanted to plant some trees, could I, do we, I ask for permission or leave it up to
the
council?
Well, you can set up, they can certainly set up a procedure that, you know, I think the probably appropriate thing to do would be set up some kind of procedure either for removing trees or planting trees or whatever anybody wants to do with trees on public land. It should be, you know, there should be a procedure for doing it.
And we need a uniform.
Yeah,
we need a uniform.
Yeah, whatever, if it's borough property, the borough is in control of that, and it should exercise that control. Okay.
Or do it on one particular day, like do a...
Plant a tree day.
Plant a tree day.
Arbor Day.
That's what you have Arbor Day for.
Arbor Day
for planting trees, that's right.
But we passed
Okay, several other things. As for an historian, this weekend, we're going to be having from 10 to 5 on Saturday, and then from 12 to 5 on Sunday, we're going to have the weekend in Old Monmouth. So if any of you can
come. Kind of overlaps with the string band.
Overlaps with the string band. That's fine. Well, if it's on the same weekend as the string band, that's good, because then...
Well, Sunday it's just 3 o'clock at the string band.
Okay, so good. People can... Where is the string band going to be? In the school?
No, there's two different times in the bulletin. It's 3 o'clock.
Yeah, no, it's 3 o'clock.
Yeah. Will that be in the school or where?
String band?
It will be here.
Here.
Okay. So, people should be welcome to come to both. Hopefully people will come to Roosevelt and go to both. That's why I always thought it would be a good idea to have them on the same weekend for that reason. Okay. The other thing, school board council liaison, I wanted to also point out to the information about the budget, which Mike alluded to, which you should be aware of. There's nothing, it's obviously not within your jurisdiction. The local tax levy is going up 9.86%, which is a significant rise. Okay, but the operating subtotal only went up 2.61%. So the reason for all this was there's a 75% reduction in the amount of money that is in various federal grants that were basically COVID-related, which are now phasing out. So we got 200,000 last year, now we only got 50,000. So it's a loss of 150,000 there. The budgeted fund balance that we're allowed to use went down. And then the school aid actually went up 16.77%. So, this is just to be aware that this is hopefully, since this loss of the federal aid is something that's probably a one-time thing, we won't have it again to lose. So we won't see a change of this caliber in the future. Hopefully we won't. I mean, you can't continue to have increases of 10%.
So if my tax went up because of this new Monmouth County thing where they have to count so many houses.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing where that's the five-year assessment thing where house is assessed once, every property is assessed once every 5 years.
So that doesn't include the whole school?
No, that doesn't include, that does not, the totally, that's totally separate from that. This is the tax levy, which is the amount of total amount that this has to be, has to be collected. But as I say, it's basically a, so people will ask you about this when they get their tax bills, since you're the council members. But that's what that's all about.
Okay.
So I just wanted to tell.
All right.
Any questions? And answer them.
Thank you.
Sorry. Oh, what did you say?
Do you have any good news?
Aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln,
Do they give you?
Well, we got more state aid, so that was a good news. But that went up 16.77%. That's good news, I suppose. Okay.
No, I was going to say, did they give you, like, on an average home of $300? That's $300.
$900. Yeah, the 9%.
It was an increase of $167,000 in the levy. So 1% of that would be 1670. So I'm like,
my house was higher than most of them, grow by $800. And most of them, I think, was going more of the range of $400 something like that.
A year.
Per year.
Per year, yeah.
Still hefty.
$300, $400?
Yeah, kind of. Mine
just went up
$1,500.
That's hefty, yeah.
Remember, you have to pay it all. And you're going to pay it all of this in the second quarter of the year, too.
Right, because the first two payments are
this year, so you pay in the second quarter.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So that's the good news for today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, well,
all right, we have one item under unfinished business, which is the DOT grant for improvements to North Valley Road. Mm-hmm. Did you get a chance to discuss that at finance, Mike, or not yet?
No, we didn't have a finance.
Okay, we'll hold that off till.
I'm looking.
I'm sure Carmela is surprised that we want drainage on North Valley Road also.
I'm sure. Yes. If she isn't.
Yeah. It would be set for 2025, I think, if everything.
So the grant award letter was 11/23/22, and we have to 11/23/24 to award the contract.
Right.
However, bonds have to be in place.
Right.
Right. Okay.
So we basically have a year and a half to award the contract, but the bonds have to be in place before that. All right. So we have a little time to think about it, or for finance to talk about.
It.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yes.
All right, so for new business.
Do you want me to move it to the next?
Maybe the one after?
5/17 or June
5th.
5th, I think it is.
June 5th.
What?
The
improvements to North Valley Road.
As a discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which one? Next.
Hopefully we'll have more information about cost and procedure and stuff like that.
Okay, under new business, we have use of the council room. A resident who was born and raised here, a longtime resident, is requesting the use of the council room on July 16th from 2 to 8, and to film at the cemetery on July 18th for 4 hours, from 8:30 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon.
My understanding, she has approval from the person
the
at the cemetery.
Yeah, the family.
Should we get a letter from the parents of the deceased at the cemetery?
She's very close to them. I don't think she would do this without.
I don't know.
This was one of her best friends, the person
at the
cemetery.
The parents are estranged, I believe. So
Well, that doesn't have anything to do.
I mean,
you know.
Should we just out of due diligence?
Well, the thing is, I'm conflicted about this because, really, anyone can go to the cemetery in the middle of the afternoon and film.
Yeah, why we shouldn't involve ourselves.
Yeah.
Stop somebody from filming at the cemetery
right.
if they want to.
Yeah.
The
it's a public. Yeah, it's a public. And also,
remember the movie
we don't have, I mean, everybody goes up there and I've taken photographs, lots of them.
Well, look, presumably she's filming some sort of documentary or tribute or something like that,
yeah.
So she's going to cordon off an area and not let other people into that public area. That's why you're giving her permission.
Are you sure about that? I think she might have just asked.
We don't know what they're filming. And
yeah.
I mean,
it's open to the public. Anyone can go up there and do, you know.
This is the only municipally owned cemetery in New Jersey, I believe. So
I don't think that's accurate. But
I don't know. This is what I've heard.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
No, it's the only one where you're, not to be crass, but it's the only one where your plot is free. It's not the only municipal-owned cemetery, but it is the only one where if you live here or you come back, you know, you've been here 20 years and come back, that it's free. That's what's unique, not a municipally-owned. Princeton has a municipal cemetery.
Now
most.
I can appreciate it now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Something that Princeton is
not. That big cemetery?
Princeton Cemetery Association.
But it's run by the town. There's a town board. Yeah, well, I mean, it was told that by our cemetery manager, but.
The only other issue is if there's an insurance clause that we were going to put in going forward.
Yeah, they're talking about shooting at Borough Hall.
Well, what about?
Well, also, the RAP is going to be here Sunday.
Well, RAP has insurance.
Oh, separate insurance?
Oh, yeah, we open it. Yeah. Any venue that.
Yeah, so how, right.
They should film. Or do they need to apply it to the event?
I don't know. Is that, do they, are they filling out a regular form?
I think they did.
They did fill out a form.
We haven't changed the ordinance yet, so it's time of application. And
right,
the subject of the film is really not the government's business, literally.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's really just a matter of whether you want these people at these places at these times.
Also, if they're going to use Borough Hall, traditionally in film they've used lights. Are they going to use a lot of electricity here? Do they have to plug in?
We don't ask that.
We don't ask that of anybody.
Right. Yeah, but if they're making a film, that's a little different. When we shot and wrapped the show last year, the
string
band, we actually went around the room and checked where the outlets were, breakers for the outlets.
I think
were.
Because you're having a big public event here, she's just coming in with a couple of people making a film.
I have no idea. So, all right, so those are considerations. Would the parents approve on
yeah,
a letter?
Do we need to worry about the insurance part of it?
Yeah,
we
the insurance and
the
electricity.
Which we've done in the past. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, right, all these years.
Right. Working well so far. You'll
yeah.
Better
yeah.
than pulling the rug out from the, up from under everybody.
So I,
yeah, yeah.
So there is an email that Anna sent out
yeah.
to everybody.
Okay.
I don't want to read it out loud because I don't know if there's any. But she did give you a little bit of information.
Yeah, I'm fine with what it says.
Okay.
Okay, can we do all
and she does have her, her family has granted her permission.
Yeah, I knew they right. They did.
What if it interferes with the services at the cemetery that if somebody dies prior to that,
who's the friend?
Who has to be buried the next day?
Well, not necessarily.
It's Jewish tradition.
Yeah, but not.
I mean, you could say subject to.
Yeah, I would put it.
You know, just give respect to.
Yeah.
She said she's only doing it on this one.
Brave. Yeah. She's a very, well, Michael knows better than anyone, but she's a very well-respected and prominent Broadway, I don't know if the star is the right word, but she's, you know, a singer, so she's very familiar with sort of filming and lights and all the different aspects of the entertainment field. So, and this was her best friend, so I don't have any qualms about her doing whatever she's going to do. Right, she has a beautiful voice, doesn't she, Michael?
Who are you talking about?
I thought you knew.
No, I'm just saying who you
mean. Cecilia is doing
oh,
this.
Cecilia, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll take a vote.
Motion to approve.
Yeah.
Is there any stipulations, or are you guys?
Well, the stipulation that if
you can't interrupt funerals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the event that a funeral should arise, is that a right word for a funeral? Occur.
Yeah. Any funeral services are.
I think that would be difficult since she has people coming from out of town, like California and other places, to help with this filming, who are devoting their time to this. So I think whatever you're doing about a funeral, they could move it a few hours.
That's true. Doug will
she's
set
first.
That up. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. We can say the any funeral on July 18th has to be after 12:30. Okay, so we'll just leave it as it is for this. And
yeah, it's unlikely.
And most funerals are, I mean, I don't think it would be a problem to move it a couple of hours anyway, so. Okay.
Okay,
do I have a
so
motion to approve this? Second?
I'll second.
We do all in favor of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And the second
I'm
item?
I'm going to abstain from this one.
Okay, then I'm going to do a roll call.
Okay.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essicor?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremell?
Upstate.
Okay, still does.
It's
okay.
In the industry for 40 years. You never know what's going to happen.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. The second item is the New Jersey Department of Transportation Local Transportation Project Fund. That was the other.
We
spoke about it, right, with this Carmella's recommendation.
And I'm going to have
curbs
and
yeah.
sidewalks on Rochdale, depending, I guess, on how much money, if and when we would receive it, how much, whether it's both sides of Rochdale or just one, just
right,
the school side.
Have a
yeah.
That's approved.
Yeah. And the same thing, we've already discussed Tier A mapping,
yeah.
which is approved.
Approved for resolution at the next meeting.
Right. And the NJDOT 2024 application for municipal aid grant.
That's the Lake
Drive Spruce Street. So that's approved.
Spruce Street?
Street, not court.
Yeah.
I eventually have to write all the resolutions, and so
Street.
Street, got it.
Yeah.
We'll write court, or
yeah.
we'll mess it up.
Yeah.
How about that infrastructure mapping?
Yeah, we approved that.
Spruce
Street.
I can't talk with these.
Number three is good.
Hmm?
Yes, you approved number three.
What?
You approved number three.
Yeah, it's all been approved, Lou.
Oh, okay.
Well, the resolutions are going to be on the next meeting, but
okay.
you guys all...
Yeah, approved to vote on it at the next meeting.
Approved to vote at
the
next meeting.
Not final decision.
Yeah.
Okay, and perennial. Potential ordinances, wildlife feeding, and yard waste. We didn't touch on wildlife feeding. Is there something that...
What about bird feeders and things like that?
What about them?
That was
okay. I was looking over Michael Tickton again. I was looking over the draft ordinance, and it seems singularly inappropriate for Roosevelt, since it talks about that you can't feed any wild animals off, you know, in parklands, which would mean it like if. I think if anybody's feeding any wild animals, they're feeding them on their own property.
Right.
So which this doesn't apply to. And I think this probably applies more to things like people, you know, too many people feeding pigeons in the park or something like that,
right.
which is not something that we have as a problem here. So that's why it doesn't seem to me to be an appropriate ordinance for us.
Okay.
But she says it's regulated through... for the stormwater, so...
Yeah, well, yeah, we have to adopt part of it, yes.
So do you have other ones?
You can have this ordinance.
What about feral cats?
One way to feed wildlife.
Can we limit it to...
No. Yeah, cats is like a problem.
So it's designed to not aggregate animal waste, which then runs into the stormwater and runs into the creeks. And so pigeons are an apt example because... their feces is just basically pure phosphorus that goes into, right? So if you have a huge feeding ground for birds, you're going to end up with poor water quality in your runoff. So that's the purpose of it. I think Michael's right. I think the extent of it is going to be limited. It might not even be applicable here. If there's a box that has to be checked at the DEP that we have these sort of prohibitions in place. The yard waste is functionally, you know, forgive me, these aren't due until the end of the year, so I haven't read them all yet. But I suspect the yard waste is you can't leave piles of, you know, grass lying on the curb. So the phosphorus ends up in the same thing. It's basically just all...
the phosphorus thing.
Well, whatever they... I'm not a chemist, but I know that people put fertilizers on their lawn that ends up in the blades of grass. And then if you leave them in the storm drains and they decompose in the water, there'll be bad water quality. So I believe that's what they're targeted towards, although they might... as with many things at Roosevelt, it may not be entirely applicable.
So we can't feed the wild turkeys in town there.
Only if you have them all in your backyard, Joe.
They're in everybody's.
And you clean are. And you clean up
20
after
at a time.
Like,
yeah.
So you'll review.
What did you want to say, Ellen?
Ellen Silverman,
oh, yeah.
North, 10 North Valley.
Yeah.
No, now I'm 14. Okay. I think that you might want to consider putting in something about, and I think it may not be in that one, but may consider putting in about feeding deer,
mm-hmm.
even on your own property.
Yeah.
Because feeding wildlife, they have made exceptions for birds, but feeding wildlife can cause... an environmental hazard to the animal. So,
as I know, the Assunpink Wildlife Refuge does not allow feeding of the wildlife in the Assunpink.
No, you get an enormous ticket. The Rangers catch it.
Yeah. They become accustomed to your.
It's detrimental to the wild.
And they don't forage at that.
They wait for you to come.
Yeah, they get lazy when it's handed to them.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And I've noticed that some wildlife feeding ones say if you feed a feral cat, it's not a feral cat anymore, it's yours. Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind before you reach for the food.
Even I have a rabbit that's been living on my lawn for a while, and at this point, it has absolutely no fear of us. I'm as close to it as I am to Greg.
Now, have you been feeding the rabbit, Peggy?
No, I have not.
Not intentionally.
Now, I have to tell you, I actually, at one point, it was when it was really bitter, I put out some lettuce, but they wouldn't touch it. Now, I think it has to grow out of the garden for them to want it. They didn't touch it, and it was cold out. But it's not even afraid. It's not afraid of me, my dog. I mean, it's right there. It doesn't even.
You may be guilty with your garden.
That's right.
But
they're plates.
As with most ordnance, look at them and tailor it. I know every citizen thinks their town is unique, but Roosevelt is unique, so please tailor the ordinance to match
the town.
And you don't even know. You're just here once, you know, every 2 weeks for a meeting.
I'm the guy who stood up for the Pledge of Allegiance the first two meetings, and no one else stood up. Yeah. I know it's a unique place. Just gotta ask.
That's right.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
All right. I'm going to bring up one last thing. So our recreation director, Eric Schubiger, is looking into some possible summer programs for the kids this summer. We did lose a lot of campers to the private camp that's run in town. But that seems to be more for older kids, so he's looking into some programs for younger children.
How about a bike road? It wouldn't be a long program, but, you know, it talks about bike rodeo is bike safety.
I'll definitely mention it to him. I know he's looking into like more of a program where children can go every day, but I'll mention that to him because it's just another event that we could hold.
What age groups? You said younger kids.
Well, it's not. He's looking, so I don't have anything specific to tell you. He's looking. I'm pretty sure that adventure camp in Roosevelt is. I think they start going there at 6 or 7 or something up to 12 or 13. But right now, he's just in the process of trying to see if there's something we can have. The last few summers, well, there was COVID, and then there was also the fact that it was difficult to find someone to run the camp and counselors. And plus, our camps are always just a morning program. So we kind of lost a lot of kids to the other program, but he's seeing what we can put together for this summer.
Will he be running it by the council? Whatever he comes up with.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, he and I discuss it, and then I'll bring it back to you. Hopefully, so the last couple of years, there wasn't really anything. Couldn't find employees. That was the real problem. So, and I'll just put the council on notice that for July 4th this year, it might be the first time in a very, very, very long time that we don't get our grills for free because. My friend Kenny, who owns H&H, doesn't own it anymore. He sold it. So I think he has a 5% ownership. That's all.
Let's find somebody else.
So he can't tell them, like, oh, no, we give it to Roosevelt for free. So we may have to start looking. You'll notice that I don't know what that kind of charge is. We usually have two big grills that they deliver and pick up. And, you know, we've been very lucky and spoiled. But and I am talking to Kenny about it, but he doesn't have much clout anymore to convince them that they should do this for us for free. They were very reluctant. They gave in last summer, but they were reluctant. So we may have to spend money this year for the first time on grills.
And we can't buy two?
You could, but storage is a problem. Keeping it, washing it, greasing it.
And then for a once-a-year use. Because I thought the same thing. Let's just buy one. But
and they smell it when they're in storage. If you don't degrease them, you get all that cook off and all the hamburgers.
Oh, come on. That's,
then you get ants.
That's
the best part.
I know, but still. But yeah.
Yeah, and you get bring ants.
We
talked
about that before,
That's the problem about the storage and all that for once a year. Unless we want to have council meetings like outside, hamburgers and hot dogs going. I'd opt for that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to open the floor for public comment on any item at all.
906.
I thought this was going to be a short meeting tonight. Yeah. Anyone from the public? Okay, we're going to.
Who are you?
By the way, where are you from?
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. I know that the NJ dot, one of them was also included safe streets and bike trails.
It's a Rushdale, I think.
And I was wondering if we could ask Carmela to include investigating changing that trail from the triangle at Pine to the school and changing that to officially be a bike trail, and then it would be a new bike trail, and maybe we could get improvements done through the grant.
How do you want to configure it?
Right now, it's a trail.
Next door to Maureen's house.
Yeah.
In between Volley's and Maureen's.
Yeah.
Right. That goes to the school.
Right. So what do you want to do?
Change it to a bike trail, not just...
In other words, pave it or somehow...
Make it a harder...
Surface.
Still pervious would be great, but make it so it doesn't flood and get all mucky on the pipe.
Ours. And you make it a walking path and a bike?
Yeah, it would be a walking and a bike.
Do teachers ride bikes on it now? I would think some.
There are bikes on it. Yeah. It's allowed, but the grant is for a new biking trail. Yeah. So we could say we want to now make this a biking trail.
Now it's like mulch, sort of.
Yes, but it's not really. It doesn't really solve the problem in that area.
That's the Safe Street grant you're saying?
Yeah.
I think that's
the one. I think Rochdale Curves and Sidewalks.
Yeah.
If she could write something in there, I think that would be great.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to close public portion.
Local Transportation Project Fund, I think you're talking
about. Yeah,
local. Close public comment at
9:09.
Local Transportation. Counselor, need for executive session?
Yes.
Oh, I forget also.
Trees.
If you want some
I do.
Please come get your bay berries before you go.
Yeah, thank you for bringing them.
Mysterious.
Did you get many people at the post office on Saturday in that rain?
Yes.
Good.
Good,
because it was really raining.
The trees loved it out there. People not
too bad. No, it was really downpour.
So pick some trees and I'll leave.
Okay, when you're whenever you're ready to read closed session.
Okay, so it's not on the agenda, so I need to...
Motion to amend.
A motion to amend the agenda.
At 23:55.
Do I have...
Which is providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. So I need a motion.
Second. 23:55.
That's to amend the agenda.
The topic is potential litigation.
Roosevelt First Aid. So I need a roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Herrstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Steve Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Joe Tremel?
Yes.
Okay, that's to amend the agenda. Now I'm reading Resolution 23-55, providing for a private executive meeting that excludes the public. Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted to the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the said Act. Now therefore be resolved by the Borough Council as follows, that the next portion of this meeting be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matter potential litigation Roosevelt will take, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. I need a motion to adopt this resolution.
So moved. Ellen.
Second.
I'll second it.
Going to do roll call.
Aye.
No. Mr. Atwood.
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so that resolution is adopted.
Ellen, can I ask you a quick question?
Wait, I'm going to turn everything off.
Full sun?
It's like sun.
It likes sun, okay.
Sun.
So I'm going to pause it here. How do you pause it here?
I'll take two.
Hit the stop button on that.
It's okay if I take them to Aberdeen and plant them, right?
Don't take them out of state.
No, Aberdeen's it's in New Jersey. It's in Monmouth County.
A tree is a tree.
Jeez. Oh, okay, no.
back in public at 9:36.
Just the one. Go ahead.
All right, we're back in public in at 9:36 p.m. Mike?
Motion to adjourn.
Do I have a... Okay, next meeting. Next meeting is May 15th. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Okay. All in favor? Okay. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.